Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of the Mountain Bikes Apart podcast. This is a show where we talk about anything mountain biking, from trail guides to equipment to skills, everything in between. And this time we're talking about technology, something I always like talking about, gadgets, shiny things, things you can waste your money on. Do you waste a lot of money on this kind of thing, Tom?
Yeah, I do. I can't say any other way. I definitely do. Everyone loves techie stuff, gadgets, that kind of thing.
You can't be into biking and not spend money on. You always spend money on the shiny bikey bits, but you've got to have some technology and gadgets to go along with it, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a bit of a numbers sort of person as well, and you know, like to study the metrics, and so. Having all these gadgets to tell you what you're doing and what you've done and that kind of thing. I love that sort of stuff.
Indeed. Cool. So yeah, I'm Colin Gray, and Tom Bell is my guest. Not guest, co-host these days. You're on all the time these days.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. we've covered a lot of ground in the last however many months we've been having a chat.
Yeah, a good few months now, actually. Mm. I got some good feedback for you, Tom, actually. I've had a few people saying they really enjoyed seeing you on the show or hearing you on the show, I should say.
Yeah, it's been nice, and I'm glad some of the stuff that I'm talking about and we're talking about is helping people and at least makes sense. It's coherent.
Yeah, indeed. On that note, actually, it'd be great to get, I think we're going to change tack a little bit in the next few weeks, possibly. Maybe think a new, go to a new season, a new topic. We have been over the last 5, 6, 7 weeks talking about bike equipment, basically how to set up your bike, how to customize your bike so that it suits you most effectively, so it suits your riding, your style, all that kind of stuff. And we'll probably change to something else relatively soon. So it'd be cool to get your feedback on what we should do. So if you're out there listening, tell us what you want to hear about. Tell us what you want us to cover in the future episodes. And in fact, we've mentioned before, we want to do a Q&A episode kind of soon as well. So if you have any questions about bike setup, bike equipment, any of the stuff we've talked about on this season, then send that in as well. So you can send that to Colin@mountainbikesapart.com, or you can tweet me at ColinMCGray. You can tweet Tom at @ByTomBell. So you can get either of us that way. So yeah, either what you want us to talk about in the next season, what you'd love us to cover, stuff that you're struggling with in mountain biking, or anything related to this season, which is about bike setup, bike equipment, and that kind of those good things. So yeah, it'd be good to hear from you. Hopefully we can do that Q&A in a few weeks, actually, Tom. That'd be good.
I hope so. That would be a really nice episode, just to be interesting to see what questions people have got, and then see how well we can answer them.
Yeah, tie everything up. Cool. Okay, well, let's get to the gadgets. I want to talk about this. I've vaguely talked about this actually in a very early episode, back when I was just experimenting with a couple of different devices, but there's tons more out these days. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you like this? I know we joked at the start about it's basically a waste of money, it's a gadget, it's just for fun and playing around with, but actually there are some useful aspects to having a bike computer or a tracker of some sort. What do you see as the kind of as the more tactical or useful elements of them?
I mean, for me, from my point of view, it's good to have something that's telling me kind of what I'm doing in the present. So if I'm training, what kind of effort I'm putting out and that kind of thing. And then just the wealth of data that it records as you ride that you can then review and look over sort of after the ride. So whether that's just basic stuff like where have I been, you know, you can look at the map of where you've ridden, but also kind of how you're improving, how your performance was relative to stuff you've done in the past. And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, sometimes as well, just having these more developed devices that have, you know, GPS and mapping functions to make sure you're not getting lost too much, or if you're exploring somewhere new, having something to guide you.
Yeah. So let's look at them in, I suppose there's a few categories here, isn't there? You've got sort of proper cycle computers. You've got just your phone. A lot of people just use their phone actually for this kind of thing. You've got more general GPS devices, so maybe not tied just to cycling, maybe for running, general exercise. And then we'll maybe go through a few apps at the end as well that kind of tie it all together, or maybe that some of the devices maybe feed into to track it afterwards. In terms of cycle computers then, let's start with that because that's kind of really specific to what we were talking about just now. What, I mean, when you're out on your bike, what kind of metrics are you looking to actually track?
Yeah, so you can kind of, I guess the very basic cycle computer is something that, you know, most people are familiar with that ride a bike. You can see them on some fairly, you know, budget bikes, and they're often an accessory that's sold with them. And they can show, you know, fairly rudimentary metrics such as, you know, your current speed, your average speed, and some of them have a heart rate function as well. But then you get to the, I guess, the GPS devices that are cycle specific. You've got all kinds of things. So you've got, like I mentioned before, a map. So sort of where you're going and actual turn by turn navigation. I use a power meter, so I've got kind of wattage readings. So everything to do with that. You know, you've got your current power, average power, normalized power, maximum power, all these kind of things, as well as heart rate, and all that kind of thing, really. So plenty to go at.
Yeah. The basics are distance and speed, really, aren't they? That's what you get in the really basic little cat eye type things.
Yeah.
The one that's kind of in a lot of the after ride apps as well. I mean, we'll talk about things like Strava, Garmin Connect, all them. They basically, if you're just on your phone, really, they tend to just do distance and speed, don't they? Maybe elevation as well, actually, if it's GPS enabled.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you say, the heart rate, I always find heart rate quite useful, just because, well, that's for when you're training, really, isn't it? You get to stay in your certain zones and make sure you're riding hard and not slacking, or you're not riding too hard and you're sort of blowing yourself out too early. But I have to admit, never done power meters. So is that actually a device on your bike? That's
it is, yeah. So it's essentially that. I mean, there's a few different power meters out there on the market, and essentially all they are is a regular component on the bike, but it's got the addition of strain gauges, so they can tell you exactly how much power, which is measured in wattage, you're kind of putting through. So you've got something called a power tap, which is the strain gauges are built into a specific rear hub. You've got stages power meters, which are a little pod with the strain gauges that just adds that's just added to the back of the left hand crank arm.
Okay, sure.
And then you've got some Garmin ones that are put into the pedals. And then you've got some that are also in the cranks as well. So typically they're in the crankset, the pedals, or the rear hub.
Right, okay, that's cool. Because I use Strava a lot, and it gives you a simulated power meter, I suppose. I have no idea how they calculate it. Probably not very accurate, I'd imagine.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I can see what I've actually done relative to what Strava estimates sometimes, and it's
Is it way off never, sometimes?
Yeah, it's always way off. Yeah,
okay, cool. I'll stop paying attention to that. the other one's Cadence, actually. I had a Cadence meter with my Garmin a while back, and I used to look at it, worry about it, but I realized after a while, I was like, what difference is this making to me? I cycle at a cadence that is comfortable to me. As a racer, do you think about that a bit more?
I do in training sometimes, just because there's a kind of optimal cadence, at least on the when you're on the road or on smoother trails. You know, they typically say around 90 RPM is a good cadence, just in terms of being the most efficient. It's quite interesting. There's a lot of studies out there that show that the human body essentially comes down to it sort of sorts the cadence out for itself. So what you pedal at is actually generally speaking, the most efficient for you.
Okay.
So yeah, cadence is a bit of an interesting one, especially, I mean, with mountain biking, it's very difficult because it's often that the terrain dictates what your cadence is. And if you don't have the, you know, if you're going up a steep, a really, really steep climb and you don't quite have the gears, then it's impossible to just kind of self-select a cadence. So I think it's another good one just to kind of look at after you ride and to kind of aim for as a bit of a ballpark.
Yeah, yeah. For the devices that I've had, it's always been an add-on. Like, it never came with. Mm. So the first cycle computer I had, well, actually, it wasn't a cycle computer. The first tracking type computer of this sort I had was a Garmin 301, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. So it was a wristwatch, basically. But you could add on biking accessories, a cadence sensor that went in your pedal. So it's a bit of a... It's a bit of extra work to basically fit all this stuff.
Yeah.
To me, I felt like it wasn't worth the effort in the end, having that cadence sensor and that extra cadence sensor. I just didn't really... It was interesting at first because I'd heard of that 90 RPM rate that you're to try and stick to, but I just like...
Yeah.
I just kind of... Like you say, I just pedaled.
Exactly. Yeah, I think unless you're training and kind of really working on your efficiency and that kind of thing, and like I said, a lot of it comes more when you're on the road and it's very, very regular, then it's not particularly a... Certainly not a useful thing to kind of look at and stare at as you actually ride.
Yeah.
I mean, the good thing nowadays... As I was talking about the power meters, is they actually have kind of built-in cadence in there, so you don't have to add kind of a little pod on or anything like that. They just use an accelerometer, which is nice. So it's just kind of there anyway, without any extra work to fit an additional accessory. So that's nice, and
perfect.
You know, it's nice to have it, like you say. But I haven't ever added an additional cadence sensor because, like you said, I don't really see too much value in
it. If it's not there already.
Yeah.
So what, talking of brands and models then, what do you use in terms of dedicated cycle computers?
Yeah, I use a Garmin 810 as mine because I kind of wanted it. I mean, it's just a good all-round device with a color screen, very, you know, large and clear screen to display all these metrics that we're talking about, the mapping and navigation is really useful just because I travel quite a lot throughout the year to different countries, and I'm often sort of plonked somewhere where I've got no idea where I am. So it's good to plot a route using some kind of software and load it onto the Garmin, and then have a training ride kind of there that I can be guided turn by turn on with the Garmin.
Yeah. Do you do that a lot with your off-road rides still?
I have done, when I was in Norway a few months ago, and I did plot a mountain bike ride, which actually turned out to be a bit extreme because they in that country especially, they use all the footpaths and all the bridle ways are just kind of one and the same. So you can kind of plot a route and it looks great, it looks like a nice trail, and then you actually get there and it's a walking route that you have to kind of hike a bike sort of half the half the distance. So sometimes it can trip you up a little bit, but I have used it for both road and for mountain biking purposes.
I just ask because actually I think probably it's just the type of riding I do. Certainly these days I don't do a lot of exploring riding. It's mainly trail centers or marked stuff. So I've never really done a lot of or needed a lot of navigation when I've been out on the mountain bike. Certainly when I go, if I get on the road bike just for a bit of exercise, I'll use my phone generally to navigate. So having a good cycle computer that can do that would be quite good actually. Is the 810 one of the ones that it's like the Garmin Edge style? Is it an Edge one? Or
it is an Edge. Yeah, it's an Edge 810. Yeah, they've just come out with a new 820, which is just has a load of other features. But the 810 was kind of the 810 and the 1000. The 1000 is a little bit more expensive. Are the ones that were kind of the ones really hailed for their navigation, but also being very cycle specific, because obviously, like you said, we can get there's some Garmins and some other brands out there that have GPS units that are not specifically tailored for biking and mountain biking and road cycling. Whereas the Edge 810, it's a dedicated cycle computer but with navigation as well.
So why do you reckon you would go for one like that as opposed to a more general purpose one?
I think it just because it's more tailored for what kind of I'm doing or what a cyclist might want to look at. So you've just got all the kind of metrics on there that you might want. And I have used it, you know, off the bike as a kind of just for, you know, hikes and that kind of thing. Not that it's completely ideal for that, but it does do the job. I guess it comes down to how much you're kind of going to be using it just for cycling, or whether you do a fair amount of walking or running as well. Then something like a Forerunner, like the Watch series, or a more general GPS device might be a better bet.
It's hard to say, isn't it? Because the navigation certainly is a lot easier with the Edge, obviously, if you're trying to do navigation. In fact, I don't know if there's many watches I've seen that can do a decent bit of navigation. I mean, my Forerunner, my old school Forerunner, you could put in very basic directions, but it was impossible to follow. It was like you could plot a ride and it would give you basically a bearing almost, but it was never, it was completely useless for that. It was more so you could find your way back, to be honest. Yeah,
exactly. They have like a breadcrumb kind of trail, don't they? It kind of shows you where you've been already. And then you've just got sort of a bearing just to tell you that's the sort of general direction you want to be heading forwards.
Yeah. So I've never had a dedicated cycle computer, because I do a lot of running, walking, all the other stuff as well. But so when I do need to navigate, I tend to combine my GPS watch type of device with my phone. I'll just actually mount my phone on my handlebars, and I got a really good case that I can do that with.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my compromise, I suppose. I've got a system on my phone that I can put it there, so it acts as a cycle computer, but I've got the more specific stuff like the heart rate and all that type of thing on my watch as well. Although, to be fair, you can get that on your phone too.
yeah. I think it's nowadays, obviously, with phones being so powerful and the screens being so nice, it's a really good and, you know, viable way to go in terms of almost having a Garmin or a GPS device actually just interface through an app on your phone. And like you say, there's some systems now. Was it QuadLock that you use?
Yeah, that's not the one I've got.
You mentioned it.
I was talking about the QuadLock once, but it's one called Rockform that I got in the end. Yeah, but it's exactly the same idea.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, with those kind of solutions out there, it's a really good way to securely fix your phone onto your bars, and then you've got a really powerful kind of device that can kind of do everything that you might want, just kind of through apps and that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I kind of imagine that a lot of people are moving away from the cycle computers these days because of that. They just basically connect up. Because my phone, I can connect a heart rate monitor to Strava. I can connect a cadence monitor to that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know about a power meter. In fact, I'm sure I've seen a Bluetooth power meter around somewhere too.
Yeah, there's some. I mean, the Stages power meter that I use does have Bluetooth on it. I'm not sure that it connects to the actual. I don't know if you can actually sort of transmit wattage and stuff via Bluetooth, but you can just get a little. It's called ANT or Ant Plus. Transmission that a power meter uses, and you can just get a kind of dongle to go into the phone, which will then pick that up. So you can read all those metrics on a phone.
So really, if you're willing to risk your £500 smartphone to the mud and the rain and the falls, if you manage to get a decent mount that can put that in the handlebars, I suppose it's a bit more expensive as well, isn't it? Because you've got to buy the add-ons and things like that. Then. Yeah, it's definitely a pretty viable alternative. I mean, I think these days, I don't know about you, what I do for a normal average daily ride these days is, in fact, it's changed in the last month. I'll say what I used to do. What I used to do was just get my phone, put on Strava, hit record, stick it in my bag, and then just go ride. I didn't even have a heart rate monitor at the time. Actually, the distance, the speed, the tracking of it was enough for me, and I didn't really need sort of minute by minute tracking of my speed, my distance and things like that. It was more for monitoring afterwards, which I think, I mean, obviously you're looking to sort of keep up certain speeds, cadence, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of people will be, in fact, I do at certain times when I'm training, but For average daily rides, my phone is more than good enough, and I'm not even risking it, really. I'm not even needing the extra stuff. It's tucked away in my bag, and it's okay. And like I say, you can add on. So these days, actually, now what I do, I just recently, so to move on to the GPS, unless is there anything else you want to say about phones before I move on to the GPS devices?
No, I don't think so. I was just going to say, I mean, I think most people do, the vast majority, I think, especially that I see, do use a GPS, a Garmin, essentially. And it's probably because, you know, most phones are, tend to be getting bigger now. They're definitely getting to the size where you wouldn't want them on your handlebars. And then, as you say, you probably don't want them out there in the elements getting muddy and potentially getting messed up in a bit of a crash. So, but certainly, a phone, in terms of if you don't need those metrics kind of being shown to you as you ride, then just sticking the phone in the bag, you know, with Strava running in the background is definitely enough for most people.
Cool. So, so what I do right now is, just about 2 months ago, actually, I started looking into watches again. I was going to get a new watch to show sort of the data. And what I came across, actually, was some of the new Fitbits. So I hadn't realised that Fitbits had got to the stage where they've got internal heart rate monitoring and GPS as well. So it's the Fitbit at, now I always get them mixed up, I think it's the Surge. It's the £200 Mark one, and it's got a GPS. It can talk to Strava, so basically I can go out with just this watch on, not even have an external heart rate monitor, and it's not as accurate as a decent, like a proper heart rate monitor on your chest, but from my kind of, like, knowing my sort of haven't had experience of measuring my heart rate, and like I kind of I've got an idea of where it should be at, it's relatively accurate, I think. So I'm finding that really good, actually, because it's just, all it is a watch, just a watch. I can go out for a run and all I do is put on that watch. I don't need to take my phone with me anymore, which I used to have to carry like a big smartphone.
Exactly. It's funny you should say that, actually, because my girlfriend's literally just got a Fitbit in this last week. And I've been looking at it with a fair degree of envy, actually, because it's great that there's the heart rate kind of just being read off the wrist. I think that's a really nice feature. And then just how, you know, it's automatically uploading all of her rides and all of her runs straight to Strava. Just so easy. And then it's obviously an activity tracker as well. So you've got all those other interesting metrics when you're not on the bike or not sort of running, in terms of sleep hours and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, it's great because I've always got it on, although actually looking at my wrist, I don't have it on right now, but I usually have it on. And I've been doing a bit of CrossFit recently as well, and just being able to track those workouts in terms of heart rate, exertion, all that kind of stuff is really cool. So just, I mean, I could have done that with my Garmin, I suppose, but I'd have to go and get my heart rate monitor on, and it's just so much more simple.
You'd have to then manually upload stuff, and they've done a really good job of making it, you know, everything really seamless and convenient.
And I think to me, it's getting so that it's the balance between how much data you want to see right at that moment, and the balance between that and convenience, isn't it? So I suppose if I could afford it and I could be bothered with all the setup every time, I'd love to have cadence, navigation on my bars, like speed, power ratings, heart rate, all that kind of stuff, all that kit on, really accurate. But really, when it comes down to it, I don't need it. I'm not a racer like yourself. You can justify it, but so the convenience and the ease is probably more important for me.
That's it, definitely. It's a balancing act. Obviously, I'm a bit of a strange case, just because I'm, you know, every ride has got a purpose, and I'm just trying to track all sorts of stuff. But definitely for most people, and certainly when I just go out for a kind of fun ride as well, you just, it's nice to have all these things if you do want to look back at them, you know, post ride. But certainly you don't need them all. And it's better that you're probably looking at the trail rather than just staring at your Garmin the entire time as well.
Yeah, totally. What other, if you do want a bit more detail for tracking, what other, do you know any other good GPS devices, like more general ones?
I'm not 100% sure. I'm most familiar just with, you know, Garmin's range of products. I know there's some other companies that do them now, and obviously the activity trackers as well. That's really interesting. The obviously the Garmin ones, but also the Fitbit and the Jawbone up, which I think was kind of the first activity tracker to kind of come on the market and spur on this whole quantified self kind of idea. I'm mainly familiar with the cycling ones, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, when I was looking into them, the ones that were standing out, it was, in fact, you know what I did? I'm just a complete Strava addict. That's what I use. That's where everything goes into. It's a great system. I haven't even tried anything else in like a couple of years because it's just, it's good. It's never given me any cause to look elsewhere. So there could be other apps out there, like other software out there, sorry, that helps the tracking a bit more effectively. So maybe I'll ask you about that in a second. But just to finish what I was going to say there is, I actually started choosing my watch, or the last time I was choosing a watch, I did it by going into Strava and looking at compatible devices.
So I just
looked at the ones that they worked with, and I was just trying to get up on the computer in front of me just now, that list, because I can't really remember what it was now.
Right, yeah.
But there was, I'm sure Timex do one called an Ironman as well.
They do, yeah. Really now you mentioned that, it rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah. And Strava works with, yes, I've got it up. So there's the Wahoo Ticker, is the heart rate monitor. That's the one that you can get. So it's just Strava. You don't need a watch or anything like that. You can just make your phone work with that, and that puts heart rate into Strava on your phone, which is, I think is enough for, that's kind of an extra step. The one that most people want is they just want to get heart rate in there. But then if you want to get your the data on your wrist, essentially, here's the list. So yeah, it's the Garmin Forerunner 735. That's their kind of flagship one these days, isn't it? Looks like they've got the cheap Garmin Edge 520 as well, which is the 240 one. So that all works with it. There's one from Wahoo as well nowadays. They're the ones that kind of led the way on terms of smartphone compatibility. So Wahoo are the ones that do the heart rate monitor, Bluetooth heart rate monitors, that type of stuff.
Yeah, I think that they're quite an interesting brand actually, because I think they started off, if I'm not mistaken, as a fairly, you know, kind of consumer friendly, budget, you know, Strava integrated kind of system. But they do sponsor Team Sky as well.
Oh,
so they've obviously now broadened their kind of product range right up to the kind of high performance stuff as well. You know, they do turbo trainers and all sorts of stuff.
Really?
So it looks like they've hit on something, definitely.
Yeah, that's interesting. They've got a cadence sensor too, so that ties into your smartphone too, so you could get that tied into Strava or similar to as well.
Yeah, it's cool. It looks like some good stuff.
Yeah, and the other one they've got listed on here is Suunto, S-U-U-N-T-O. So there's a watch which ties in with it there.
Yeah, Suunto, that's a good brand as well. Now that you're mentioning them, I actually they're all coming back to me. The Suunto, the watches are really nice. I just, the impression I've got of that brand is that they're just not as simple. They don't seem as simple and as sort of streamlined to use as some of the other ones out there. But I could be wrong. I used to have a Suunto heart rate monitor, just a, you know, basic watch with a heart rate strap, and that worked fine. But again, no sort of GPS or anything like that on that one.
Great. Yeah, no, I'd not come across them before at all. Yeah. Interesting. There's a lot out there. Always new stuff coming out.
There is, yeah, exactly. I'm quite anxious to, I'd quite like to have a look at the new Garmin 820 that I mentioned. Can't really justify the upgrade, but you don't always have to, you know, it doesn't have to be a practical decision, does it? It's often
sounds like,
by the
sounds like sponsorship,
the heart
to me, Tom,
rather than the head kind of thing.
Get in there, get some sponsorship, get a free Garmin.
Yeah, exactly. I might have to try that. I've been bigging up Garmin on here, so hopefully they like what I'm saying.
In terms of, let's finish up with the apps. I think you mentioned you'd tried out a couple of other ones. I'm a total Strava, that's all I've used. Actually, I've played with Garmin Connect because that's the one that Garmin's tie into.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had my Forerunner originally, but it was mainly just, I didn't play with it too much. It seemed to me to just be like a logging tool. So it logged where you'd been, general distance and speed more than anything else.
Yeah.
Anything else you've tried?
Well, I do use Strava a lot, actually. I really like it, and I really like that they've kind of bootstrapped that whole social element onto it, which is what I think has made it so popular. You know, just that it's a social network that's tied around fitness and workouts and stuff. That's really interesting. And I only actually use the, you know, the free version of Strava, but the premium now has got features that rival some of the dedicated kind of training, you know, more serious training apps as well. So it's actually a really well-rounded kind of solution for professionals, as well as just logging your rides and chasing some KOMs and stuff like that. But I also use something called Training Peaks, which is quite a bit more of a serious, it's not got that kind of social element. It's more like Garmin Connect, like you were saying, in terms of the logging, but the amount of features that you've got for post ride analysis and stuff like that, it's what all the kind of professional teams tend to use. And there's just a wealth of graphs and statistics on there that once you kind of, if you need to know those kind of things and you learn how to use it, it's really interesting. And like I said, I'm quite into the numbers, so I like to track all that sort of stuff.
I'm sure you are, if that's your thing, is try to get faster, try to make up the seconds, isn't it? I mean,
it is, I coach some athletes as well, so it's useful for me as a kind of self-coached athlete, but to coach and plan the training of other athletes as well. So I really like Training Peaks, but I do love Strava, and every ride I do goes up there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing how much of a difference actually even the Strava social aspect makes to my training, because I find that when I'm going for a ride on my own, you don't have the same motivation to keep going, to race, to keep up the speed, whatever, to put the effort in, essentially. But actually, when I know I'm on a segment that my friends know, or even that I just see, I know people are going to be looking at some point, I'll be motivated by that. It's the fact that it's going to be logged. There's some social proof there, you know, there's... try to get that. I mean, I'm not really in the level of getting any King of the Mountains at all, but I can, maybe some of the more remote stuff, you can at least compete, you're in top 10 or whatever, you can try and get up there in terms of the rankings. So yeah, it's cool. It made a big difference when it first came out. And I remember doing a lot of racing against my brother. So, you know, you can do it people within your group. So that's the great thing about Strava. Obviously, there's some segments at, say, the local trail here, which, you know, there's 300 people have logged a time, and there's folk that are way above me in terms of fitness. But you can say people you know, people you follow, compared to them. So me and my brother had a few segments that we were competing over for a few months, and it's just really motivational.
It is, yeah. It definitely influences at times, you know, how you ride, or whether you might tack on a little bit extra to, because, you know, like you say, you've got that social proof there. And definitely, I think there's a lot of people out there nowadays that if their ride doesn't kind of go up on Strava, they feel like they haven't actually done it, kind of thing. There's a lot of angry reactions when people's, you know, Garmins or devices, you know, fail to save properly and that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
It tends to be a bit ugly. So yeah, definitely. It seems like people use Strava for that motivational drive.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, it's cool. Okay, dogs, let's tie up there. So it's gone over half an hour. So that's us getting really towards, this might even be the end of our current season. So like I said at the start, we're looking to do a Q&A episode quite soon, if not the next episode and the one after. So please do send us a question, send us anything about the current season, anything about equipment, anything about bike setup, all that kind of stuff. In fact, should we just open it up, just do a general Q&A?
Yeah, anything anyone wants to know,
anything you want to ask. I was about to say ask me or Tom. You probably want to ask Tom, he's the one that does all the racing, he's the one that's got the interesting answers. But yeah, anything mountain biking. I've got a few years experience, I can probably answer a few questions at least.
But fire
any questions in that you have, and we'll put them on. So the easiest way to do it is to write them in by text. You can either email me at colin@mountainbikesapart.com, or you can go on the website, you can fill in the form there. There's a contact form on the website at mountainbikesapart.com. You can tweet us. I'm Colin MC Gray on Twitter. Tom, you are?
By Tom Bell, so BYTOMBELL. And what I'll do is I'll put some tweets out as well to my followers and try and get some questions in from there.
That's
as well.
A good idea. Yeah, let's do some motivation. Try and get some. Try and draw some stuff in. But yeah, if you're listening, do you know the even better thing? So the easy things to send text. So do that if that's all you can do. But if you can record something and send it, that'd be absolutely brilliant because we could get your voice on the show. All you would do, pull out your smartphone, just get the voice recorder app, pull that up, press record and just speak for, 30 seconds, a minute, whatever it takes to get your question out there. And then you can actually just email that voice clip straight to us. Just go to mountainbikesapart.com, colin@mountainbikesapart.com. Love to hear from you. Okay, dokes. Thanks for all this. Tom's basically planned this entire season. So I just want to say thanks to Tom for going through all of this, taking us around the bike. I think, have you got plans for it? Is it one or two more episodes? Or what are you thinking at the moment, Tom?
Yeah, I think so. I can't think off the top of my head what might be left to kind of talk about. But I'm sure there's some interesting topics. So yeah, we'll see how we go, whether we sort of... move on to a new season and kind of change track a little bit.
I think maybe we want another one to tie up the bike season, like just the little bits that we haven't done yet. There's probably
absolutely
a few things.
Yeah, I think so as well.
And then maybe we can do the Q&A in a couple of weeks. That'd be great. I think
sounds
that would
good.
time in well. Okay, excellent. That'd be good. Right, well, thanks again for listening. Thanks for spending your time with us. I know it's valuable, so it's always appreciated. And Tom, thanks for joining me again as well.
Ah, no problem. I love chatting through all this stuff, so it's my pleasure, definitely.
Cool. All right, well, enjoy the riding, wherever it is, and talk to you next time.